In Matthew's Gospel, the second chapter, verse 1, the verse begins like this. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. Now when Jesus was born. Jesus was born. Coming back through London on the way returning from Uganda. Headlines in leading London newspaper was a commentary of some man who didn't have a clue about God or Jesus Christ. And he said, why Halloween is better than Christmas. When I read the article, it just revealed the man had no understanding whatsoever that Halloween expands the minds of our children. Christmas, it's a script that they know, and it's old, it's worn out, and it's had its time. And let me tell you something. I don't know exactly what they wore or how everything was exactly back then, but I tell you, there was a day when a star began to shine. And there was a day when wise men came with their gifts to Jesus. There was a day when the shepherds came by night. There was a day when that verse literally leaped from the pages of God's Word. Now, when Jesus was born. It's interesting to notice in the first chapter of Matthew, I'm just going to give you three or four verses here. Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judas and his brethren. And then, of course, it goes down into, crossing all the generations. And actually, what the Bible tells us from Abraham, you remember God said, Abram, if you will obey me, all the nations of the earth will be blessed because of you. There were 14 generations from Abraham until Israel, through their disobedience and their sin, was carried into captivity. You know, we're a blessed nation today. I see young people so carefree and enjoying life, and thank God for that. But there was a day when, if things didn't go right, God's people would be going into captivity. And they did. And of course, there was a 400-year silence before Jesus was born. All through the Old Testament, God was speaking, but man wasn't listening. Now man is listening, but God is not speaking, except he's always spoken through the prophets. And God has always had a people, a promise. He's always had that. But notice, if you will, here in Matthew chapter 1, verse 16, and Jacob begat Joseph. Now, this is the earthly husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. And from David until the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations. And from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ, until the time that Christ was born, another 14 generations. Now, this is something that Bible scholars have their own opinions about, but it seems that a generation, according to Bible scholars' analogy of this thing, was either 40 years or 70 years. I'm not going to belabor that point. But you have three periods of 14 generations, beginning with Abraham. And I want to start there because, remember, God came to Abram at that time, and said, if you'll do what I ask you to do, if you'll believe what I ask you to believe, if you'll just be obedient to what I called you to do, I'll bless those that bless you. I'll make of you a great nation. And he promised Abraham on more than one occasion that he would give him the territory that the United Nations and a lot of other folks are trying to give away so handily today. It came over the Associated Press News that President Bush and the administration, or I guess it was President Bush's decision, was to reverse what the United Nations was trying to do. See, they want everything, but they won't give anything. And so they've been trying to divide up Jerusalem. Well, you're messing with something when you touch Jerusalem. To United Nations, it has no value at all. They just soon give the whole thing to the Palestinians. But you see, God promised. And I'm telling you, the promises of God are strong. God keeps His word. No word that is void of God is void of power. And Israel should have been like an ant would be under someone's thumb years ago. But God has taken care of tiny Israel. The real estate of Israel would be like just a speck on my thumb. And the holdings of all the Arab nations would be equal to the rest of your thumb, the palm of your hand, and four other fingers. That is the imbalance of territory that they already have. But they don't want to give their brothers any territory. They want the territory of Israel and Jerusalem. Well, that's not the text of my message. But, you know, when you see Israel, every time I go back, I say, you know, it's a testimony that God's word works. That God keeps His word and God keeps His promise. So, 14 generations. And then, of course, it goes into verse 18, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. So you begin the first chapter of Matthew, how that Abraham begat Isaac. The promise was given to Abram then, and Abraham, as his name was expanded. And then 14 generations. That comes down approximately, I'm not going to pin this math-wise, but around from 1,600 years to maybe close to 3,000 years. And I'll let you mathematicians and great Bible scholars figure that one out. But they're a little disagreed on the length of a generation. Wouldn't you say that 1,600 years is a pretty good period of time? And you get close to 3,000 years, that's a greater period of time. And God kept His word through all this period of time. You know, we live so quick. Things wind up. We're used to the sitcoms where there's a terrible thing. You know, L.A. Law, you know, you've got this terrible problem, but you know it's going to be over in 58 minutes, you know. You just know it's all going to wind up. Folks, that's not the way real life really is. And the essence of my message today, yes, now, the birth of Jesus was on this wise, here in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, and then over to chapter 2 and verse 1. Now, when Jesus was born. Yes, Jesus was born. But I want you to write this down. Things take time. This will take a real load off of your emotions. This will help you to live longer. One translation says of a verse, a relaxed attitude lengthens one's life. A relaxed attitude. Don't get so uptight about what's happening all around you. It's important, but it's not all important. Now you say, where are you coming from, Pastor? So all the generations from Abraham to David, 14 generations. From King David until the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations. And from the time they were carried away into Babylonian captivity until Jesus was born, another 14 generations. An easy 1,600 plus years, could be 27, 2,800. We'll let the theologians argue and the mathematicians argue that one. Good things, let me just say it this way, things take time. You ladies know so well, it takes time to have a baby. And in spite of your discomfort and in spite of all the things that happen in the process of the birth of a child, it still takes time. You look at things in our society. Business relationships take time. Building trust and integrity takes time. Personal relationships and friendships, the right kind, take time. Getting an education takes time. We want everything instantly. And I want to encourage all of us, you know, it takes time to not be saved by the Ten Commandments, but you need to know about Exodus 20. You need to practice the Ten Commandments. To be saved? No. But you need to practice what was said of V. Forrester by her daughter, who knew her through all those years, passed away at 90 years of age. She said, "I never heard my mother tell a lie." Very strong, isn't it? She said if she did say something that wasn't right on, she got wrong information. Because mother would always be careful to tell the truth. It's important not to steal. For one thing, if you get caught, you get put in jail. You might be shot. You might be hurt. But it's important. Don't you want to hire someone that tells the truth? Don't you want to hire someone who doesn't steal from you when you're not looking? Don't you want to be around people with someone that's not always trying to do something wrong with your husband or your wife? People you can just relax and know that they're good people with good character? See, things take time. Things take time. And that's why God, if I could just meddle for a moment, because I'm telling you, this thing is epidemic. I've talked to a number of pastors. You see, if a boy and a girl start off with a physically intimate relationship, the mystery, the innocence is gone, and where do you go from there? I mean, the innocence is gone, the mystery is gone. I mean, and invariably, one of the two will come back, and you'll hear about that the rest of your life. You say, how do you know? Because I've been dealing with human nature through all these years. God forgives, and the blood covers, and you can go and live a wonderful life. But that's why God says, get it right up front. Get a friendship right up front. Get a business ethic right up. Do what's right up front. Tell the truth when it really doesn't make any difference. When no one's looking, because God's always looking. So if a boy and a girl start off on the wrong foot, then Satan has a door to come in. And the Bible teaches us that purity and physical abstinence until marriage is God's way. I talked to a born-again believer, supposed to have been spirit-filled the other day. And they were totally oblivious to the fact that what's wrong with it. Man, God said don't do it. President of Uganda, he's radically reduced the HIV thing in Uganda. And he has an amazing new discovery that he's come up with that drives the United Nations nuts. Just don't do it. You say you're being blunt. Someone's got to be blunt. United Nations says condoms are the answer. The president of Uganda said abstinence. Be faithful to your companion. Third, condoms is a last resort. Well, you know what the Word of God teaches. You see, here's the thing. Sow bad seed and you'll reap a rough harvest. Sow good seed and you'll reap a good harvest. Just the way it works. You may sow good seed and it seems like it just falls by the wayside and no one cares. God sees. God will bring it through. You tell the truth when it doesn't make any difference because it always does. And God will see you through. So truthfulness, so honesty. I was in the bank, and I think that's the only time I can remember that happening, but the girl counted out $60 too much. And I didn't catch it until the day was over, and I thought, I've got too much money in my pocket, according to my recollection. So I went back to the bank. I said, by any means, did you... Oh, she said this. She said, thank you, thank you, thank you. And she was so surprised. She said, this just doesn't happen. So if I get extra money, that's your problem and my gain. See, do the right thing. God's calling is just do the right. See, that's part of what Christianity is all about. We do the right thing. We say the right things. And I'm not going to belabor this point, but I feel that God is in this. You see, good and bad things take time. You can sow bad seed and you think, I got away with that. No. You never get away with sowing bad seed. Weeds and tares will come somewhere along the way. And they come when you least expect them. Sow good seeds. And God will bless you for it. Now, I didn't get any shouting in that part of the message, so I... No. You know, folks, if the world looks at us and they don't see any difference than what's in the world, why be a Christian? If you don't conduct your business any different, if you don't conduct your personal life any different, if you don't, you know, why should they want our Jesus if it doesn't change us, if it doesn't work for us? Now, but here's what I want to show you. God came to Abraham, and it's a big deal when you get a promise from God. It's a big deal when you really get a real word from God. God came to Abraham. God initiated this thing. And God said, Abraham, chapter 12 of Genesis, do what I ask you to do. Go where I ask you to go. And by the way, let's rewind to what I said just a few moments ago. If you miss it, get it right with God and stay right. I'm not preaching condemnation. But you know, the gospel should make a difference in us. The gospel should make a difference in our personal lives. And with that said, I move on. Some of them, they say, well, someone doesn't attend here anymore because they feel uncomfortable because you minister along these lines. Well, I'm sorry. But one day you'll face that in the day of judgment, and I won't have to say, I didn't tell you the truth. You see, we're like the Lord in this. We say, don't, and God forbid you do. Then every resource of this house, if you'll humble your heart. Now, you know, if you're trying to do your own thing, it's another situation. But I've seen it time after time. People do their own thing, and then every resource this house reach out to try to help them. Because when people mess up, it's the church that is the last resort to really help people. Praise God. Okay, that's the pastoral side of it, and let's keep going here. Many generations went by after God promised Abraham. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm quite an impatient kind of a person. I like things to happen. I like things to happen quickly. As quickly as possible. And when things take too much time, I get a little, what's going on? But the thing that I want to bring to us today is things take time. Number two, good things take time. Good things take time. Number three, God things take time. And so sometimes we don't understand that. Well, it's just bad things. No, bad things take time sometimes for chickens to come home to roost. Good things take time. God things take time. God things take time. And with Joseph, you know, this is an unusual man, this man. In Matthew 1:25, and Joseph knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son. Now, this was not a thing of abstinence. You see, he took Mary, but the angel had spoken something to him, and he believed the word of the angel and was willing to wait. Good things happen to those who are willing to wait. Good things happen to those that are willing to wait. Now, the purpose was different here because, as you know, Joseph was the earth father, not the birth father, the earth father of Jesus, the Son of God. But until Jesus was born, he knew her not. And then he called his name Jesus. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea. So here's what I'm ministering for a few moments today. Good things take time. Secondly, God things take time. 42 generations go by from Abraham to the birth of Christ. You know, it takes years to develop a friendship. Some friendships. It takes years to develop relationships. My father grew up in the era when your word was your bond. You didn't need a contract. Don't be so foolish to try that today. But they're a believer. You still need a contract. But they're a spirit-filled believer. Get three contracts. In my father's generation, you shook a man's hand and said, I'll do thus and so. It's a done deal. That's it. That's just the way it is. If you want to sign a contract, that's fine. But his handshake was stronger than the contract because it was his heart and the commitment of his heart. Friendships and relationships with ministers. We have a lot of ministers that come through here. I've spent years building friendships and relationships with right on people. I've spent years. You don't just say, hi, how you doing? And go on down the road. It takes time to build friendships and to build relationships with ministers and with church members and with business people and with field ministries. My father was an attorney, as most of you are aware. Federal Judge Leo Brewster, he said, if R.V. Nichols says the moon's shining at high noon, I won't even go outside to check on it. He's an attorney that has never lied to me. He's always, and he told me something one time, and he found out that wasn't the way it was, and came and set the record straight. I thank God that I have that memory of my father, who was an attorney in this city for many, many years. Takes time. Take friendships and relationships seriously. Don't just throw things out the window. Let me tell you something. Babe Ruth, the home run king, he struck out more times than he hit home runs. Did you know that? Of course, the name Babe Ruth is becoming less and less a part of everything now, but he struck out far more times than he hit home runs, and he was the home run king of his time. Babe Ruth, the home run king of yesterday, of baseball, struck out more often. We swing from the left and we swing from the right, but everything I do doesn't work, and everything you do doesn't work. We do the best we know how to do at the time. We give it the best go possible. And I was just thinking of our own sports team. Man, we went to state, and we have such a great team. And we didn't make it at that final juncture, but we got there. And the team that beat us has been there four times, so they ought to know what time of day it is when they get to that place. Our guys have played great. You know, even the Dallas Cowboys, with all the great coaching of Tom Landry and Jimmy Johnson, you know, all of that. And our football team had that kind of a situation. Marvelous. But you know, we all can't win everything all the time. The only way everyone can win is in Jesus. And thank God our relationship with Jesus isn't based on that you win everything all the time, every time. So I just say to our coach and to our coaches and to our team, hey, we're proud of you. We thank God for you. And I was relating to the boys the other day, back in the 80s, how that we had to sell the lower 8 acres of our property downtown to get the financing on the upper. It was either lose the church, and not because we couldn't make the payments, but because we had the pressure of who would and who wouldn't help us. So we had to sell the 8 acres. I cannot tell you how much of a failure I felt myself to be. I walked down to that acres from the title company downtown, parked my car, walked that property 7 times. It was not paved and bulldozed and, you know, like it was later on. It was a parking lot for many years and lighting and so on. I literally ruined a pair of dress slacks and dress shoes walking that 8 acres. And I said, your name from now on is Isaac. You're on the altar. You're on the altar. I felt that I'd failed myself. I felt that I'd failed the church. There really was no other option. It's either lose the financing that we ultimately would have lost. I mean, that seems like ancient history, but hey, it was real when it was real, I'm telling you. And I can't tell you the pressure that I felt. I thought, how in the world did we get in this position? So it was gone 13 years, but God brought it back. Gone 13 years, but we got to park on it. We got to jog on it. We had our school activities on it. Even had our tent on it when the storm came. 13 years, it was out of our ownership. And they paid the taxes on it because it went to taxes there. They paid the taxes, spent about $500,000 to improve the property. And how many times have I driven around that whole situation just saying, Isaac, you're on the altar. Hello, Isaac. How you doing this morning, son? You're coming off the altar. Praise God. I only said that to say this. I know what feeling like a failure is. I know what it is when your best efforts just don't come through. I know what it is. We like to tell our success stories. And this church has as many success stories as any church on the face of the earth. We've got a bunch of success stories. But that was one time when someone said I could do jump rope under a carpet. You know, I felt so low. Something of that effect. But you know, God didn't forget us. I said God did not forget us. And you know, the thing you've got to remember, when things don't turn out like you want them to, you've got to trust in the Lord with all of your heart. You don't quit. You don't get mad at God. You can't become bitter and reactionary against people. That's the biggest mistake you've ever made, is take out your frustrations on people. You know, you can just sit there with that silly believer's grin on your face and faith in your heart. And some way, somehow, God's going to bring you out. And some way, somehow, God's going to bring you through. That's my God and your God. So here we go. Christmas story. When Jesus was born, God gives a promise to Abraham from your seed. And from that time until they went into Babylonian captivity, and then to David, and then finally to the birth of Christ, 14 generations, 14 generations, another 14 generations. Looks like it's never going to come to pass. Somebody's getting hold of what I'm ministering today. Is there something in your life that just looks like it's never going to come to pass? I've believed, I've given, I've gone, I've been faithful, I've... Hey, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not to his own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Now, you say, well, you know, Pastor, I love those suddenlies. I do too. I love those suddenlies. I love them. I believe it's Luke 2:13 that suddenly... Of course, the day of Pentecost came suddenly. But I want you to, I'm winding up here. The birth of Christ took 42 generations from the time that it was first promised through the seed of Abraham. But a miracle was in motion from that very day for the birth of the Christ child. Oh, Pastor Nichols, I want to suddenly. Listen to me. It's already in motion. Don't look so solemn. Come on. Come on. Believe God with me. But Brother Nichols, I want it yesterday. I understand. I have the same temperament on a lot of things. Well, today would be all right. You know, Mary and Joseph have to be two of the strongest believers in Holy Writ. You know, that young girl, she had it together. She had every right to say, how shall this be? Not a bad question when you don't have a husband. Joseph listened to the angel. And he said, I can do that. I will do that. Mary listened to the angel and said, oh, that's the way it's going to work. The Holy Ghost shall come upon me. The power of the Most High shall overshadow me. Folks, I'm trying to get myself into something to say it simply. We're going to have to reorient our lives instead of what the newspapers say and the news people say and the news media and all the stuff that's being hawked today. You're going to have to just wrap yourself around Jesus. You're going to just have to wrap yourself around Jesus, around the Word of God, around the Holy Ghost. And what everyone else says or what anyone else does, that's your life, but this is my life. This is my life. I'm wrapped up in Jesus. I will see what God said I will see. And see, the bottom line of this, suddenly miracles are not overnight happenings. Oh my. Suddenly miracles are not overnight happenings. They've been going on for a long time. God's been at work on your case for a long time. Don't send the package back. Don't send Brown back to heaven. Don't send Federal Express back to heaven. God has been working on your situation, your life, your children, your grandchildren, your business, your personal life. If your trust is in God, God's been working. Do you know God's been working on your deal since before the foundation of the world? I'm on to something. God has been working on what is best for you and yours before the foundation of the world. He said, I wonder if God heard my prayer yesterday. Let me tell you something, Tops. He heard your prayer a long time ago. And through all the stuff that looks so terrible and so bad and you know, all the things that happen, miracles are not the product of an overnight happening. Things take time. Good things take time. And even bad things take time. Sometimes you wonder, will people ever get caught? Will things ever, you know, will things ever, yeah, oh yeah. Good as well as bad things, they'll come to fruition. But if you sow and believe, your miracle is in motion now. Now, here's what God gave me. I knew there was something else here and I couldn't. I finally just said, well, I'm going to sleep, Lord. I was praying in the Spirit, went to sleep. Woke up this morning and there it was. God said, through Jesus, ye shall receive power. Acts 1:8. After the Holy Ghost is come upon you, ye shall receive power. And let me give you the simple analogy that I felt the Spirit of God give me. You see, Jesus is going away. Looks like they lost the big game. Their star player was put on a cross. He appeared briefly, but now he's gone again. He appeared briefly, but now he's telling you that he's going away. And then there's angels there saying he's gone away, but he's going to come again. Just do what he told you last. Is there any other word up there? No. I was talking to our players. There's nothing you can say is going to heal a real competitive athlete's frustration at loss. There was nothing anyone could say that could heal my immediate or my prolonged frustration when it looked like we'd lost all those acres. But you see, God brought it back in just in time that when all of it came together, when after the storm and all of it was over, we were able to have a school next door. That school would not be there if it was not the long time, long term grace of God working. You say, did God do it? I'm not even going to touch the theology of that. All I can tell you is we didn't have it. We got it. But it didn't happen suddenly. It might have manifested suddenly. But God was at work for a long time as we were saying, oh God, we need more room. Oh God, we need a new gym. God, we need your help. How can we do it? Because it represented millions of dollars we didn't have. I've been there. I've been there. And that's why I can tell you, hold steady when the storms of life blow. Hold steady when every voice has a contradictory. Just hold steady. That's the biggest way to get me to buy nothing. Tell me I've got to do it yesterday. Got along without you before I met you. Going to get along without you now. You're not going to crowd me into signing anything. You say I got to do it. Got a word for you. So long. I mean, you got to buy it today. If you don't buy it today, thank you for giving me the word that I needed to hear. See you later. I don't have to do anything that God doesn't tell me to do. Now, here's what Jesus said. What can heal a strategic disappointment and a loss of a game? What can heal when it looks like you've lost key property? Look like you've let the church down, let yourself down. What can help you when it seems like, man, I made it. Why did I invest in that? What in the world? Why did I get involved in that? You know, what can make the difference? The power of the Holy Ghost. And let me explain it to you. Wait a minute. Let me explain it to you. You see, the power of the Holy Ghost helps us to rise above our losses of the past. Helps us to rise above the losses or the disappointments of the past. Because when you receive the fullness of the Holy Ghost, you can either lick your wounds the rest of your life, or you can say, God, thank God I'm still alive. Thank God I still have my health. Thank God I still have a sound mind. The power of the Holy Ghost will help you to rise above your losses of the past. I'm telling you something by revelation. You know, in the natural, we hurt. We hurt. We're human. We hurt. Sure. That's just anybody that's competitive. But I'm telling you, how do you get over it? You say, well, life goes on. Life goes on. And whatever the past was, I have Jesus. So the power of the Holy Ghost helps us to rise above the losses of the past. They all suffered the agony of Jesus' death on the cross. They all suffered the agony that they let him down in a very strategic time. But secondly, the power of the Holy Ghost gives us power to shake off those snakes into the fire. You remember Paul in Acts 28? He was picking up kindling wood and a poisonous viper attached itself to Paul's hand. Instead of freaking out, Paul just shook it off in the fire. Oh, I tell you, that's the best thing one of the best things I can tell you today. Shake it off. Shake it off. Shake that poisonous viper off. Paul shook the poisonous snake off back into the fire. And thirdly, the power of the Holy Ghost gives us power to face the future victoriously and work the work that God has for you to do. I've got a revelation for you. You better not try to drive the freeway. Look at your rearview mirror. That rearview mirror is for a brief reference, but don't drive by it and don't stake your life by it. You keep your eyes straight ahead. You know, I drove a Volkswagen in 19, when was it? They were coming out of the little Beetle, and they had that little tiny back window. And I was going down 28th Street, and I was driving a used one. And I looked up and saw the bottom half of a diesel truck grill, and I freaked, man. I thought that thing was coming right over me. All I could see was grill. It looked like big chrome teeth, you know, coming after me. And I said, I don't believe I want this little guy. But what I'm saying is the Holy Ghost will give you power to face the future victoriously and to work the work that God has for you to do. So the Holy Ghost gives you power to rise above the past, face the present, God's way, and go forward to God's best. The power of the Holy Ghost gives you power to rise above the losses or the whatevers of the past, face the present, God's way, and go forward. Now the birth of Jesus was on this wise. The prophecy was given. Looks like God misses a lot of opportunities to get there early, but he's never late. God came to Abraham. I mean, forget it. It's over for Abraham and Sarah. It is over, dead, done. That's the kind of thing you see written up in the Inquirer, if they still have that. But God said. And a few more years go by. But what God said came to pass. What I'm telling you, folks, the promise was given. Time went by. It looked like God had forgotten his word. 14 generations. Another 14 generations. Another 14 generations. And a seeming suddenly. But remember, God's suddenlies, God's miracles are not overnight happenings. Your miracle's in motion right now.